Hello, I'm Pastor Rod Holler of the Cape Baptist Church in Cape Coral, Florida. I hope this message will be a blessing to you. Thanks for listening.
1 Kings. We live in a time of change. Since the Industrial Revolution came into being, technology has changed, as you well know. And it has changed society. It has changed people's view of life. And I can't help but wonder, as we especially watch the day and age of computer and technology, that which we knew 40 years ago doesn't really benefit teaching it to your grandson, because it changed. Why bother to teach him how to work a vacuum tube? Remember those in this room that remember vacuum tubes? Now you throw the whole thing away and you buy a new one. And so it is, there are some things we can pass on. There are a lot of things we can't really pass on, but the Bible we can pass on. And as we think about 1 Kings and the trials, the tribulations, the sins, the problems that they had thousands of years ago are just as relevant today. And that God that they either worshiped or turned their back on is still alive. And he is just as active in people's lives today as he was then. I want us to marvel in that. We really do have a living book in the Scriptures. And so when we study these Old Testament stories, and of course, they illustrate the truth, they may not have had an iPhone. And I just dated this message because in a few years they'll go, "What's an iPhone?" But they still had the same problems, trials and tribulations, heartaches and joys that we have. And they all will face and did face death. It hasn't changed. But Christ has conquered death. The truth is in spirituality. Well, we're on our 31st message in 1 Kings. They all died. This book starts with the last days of David's life, the reign of Solomon, the division of Israel into two nations, and the utmost importance that we can see in all of this: God's in control. He has been there through all of these actions, through all of these activities. Recently, we have considered Jeroboam. What a stubborn, arrogant man. Received word from the prophet that he would be given the 10 tribes as a kingdom and he would be the king. And rather than serve God, he turned to idolatry. And if you read on in the Scriptures, you sadly see many times, and they followed after the sins of Jeroboam. The sad influence that he had on God's people. In our last study, Jeroboam's son Abijah was ill. This man that surely knew better tried to disguise his wife to deceive the prophet. God reveals the plan, sees through the disguise, and tells Jeroboam's wife, "Your son's going to die." And Jeroboam, the man who saw the hand wither and had it healed, did not have any respect for God. You do marvel what it would take to get some people's attention. Just what would it take? Like, walk outside and look. What would it take for you to see a creator? Well, our study tonight is they all died. Let's start in 1 Kings chapter 14, verse 17. "And Jeroboam's wife arose and departed and came to Tirzah. And when she came to the threshold of the door, the child died. And they buried him, and all Israel mourned for him according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by the hand of his servant Ahijah the prophet." And the rest of the acts of Jeroboam, how he warred and how he reigned, Behold, they are written in the book of the Chronicles of the king of Israel. And the days which Jeroboam reigned were 22 years, and he slept with his fathers, and Nadab his son reigned in his stead. And Rehoboam the son of Solomon reigned in Judah. Rehoboam was 41 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 17 years in Jerusalem, the city which the Lord did choose out of all the tribes of Israel to put his name there. And his mother's name was Naamah, an Ammonitess. And Judah did evil in the sight of the Lord. And they provoked him to jealousy with their sins, which they had committed, above all that their fathers had done. For they also built them high places and images and groves on every high hill and under every green tree. And there were also Sodomites in the land. And they did according to all the abominations of the nations which the Lord cast out before the children of Israel. And it came to pass in the 5th year of King Rehoboam that Shishak, king of Egypt, came up against Jerusalem. And he took away the treasures of the house of the Lord and the treasures of the king's house. He took all away. And he took away all the shields of gold which Solomon had made. And King Rehoboam made in their stead brazen shields and committed them under the hands of the chief of the guard, which kept the door of the king's house. And it was so when the king went into the house of the Lord that the guard bare them and brought them back into the guard chamber. Now the rest of the acts of Rehoboam and all that he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles and the kings of Judah? And there was war between Rehoboam and Jeroboam all their days. And Rehoboam slept with his fathers and was buried with his fathers in the city of David. And his mother's name was Naamah, an Ammonitess. And Abijam, his son, reigned in his stead. A simple outline in verses 17 to 20, we see the reign of Jeroboam. Therein, his son died, and he, of course, died. In 21 to 28, we have the reign of Rehoboam. We have facts about his reign, sins of Judah, and the punishment on Judah. And in 29 to 31, a summary of Judah and Israel, with the understanding that there is more recorded in the Chronicles. There was constant war between Judah and Israel, and Rehoboam died, and his son ascends to the throne. They all died. When will we come to the grips with that grand reality of living for eternity? Solomon had all that the world had to offer, and he died. Do you know how much he left? All of it. All of it. 17 to 20, the reign of Jeroboam. And Jeroboam's wife arose and departed and came to Tirzah. And when she came to the threshold of the door, the child died. And they buried him, and all Israel mourned for him according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by the hand of his servant Ahijah the prophet. The death of this child was addressed in our last study. The boy was Jeroboam's son. We don't know what his ailment was, but Jeroboam connived a plan to get a glimpse into the future from the prophet Ahijah. And God foiled the plan and the child died. Folks, you cannot deceive God. You may fool people for a time, but God is all wise and he knows everything. This child dies. We don't know how old this child was, but we have this interesting observation. God saw some good in this child. You do wonder, with all the sin going on, with his father worshiping in idolatry, with perversion, where did this little kid get this, or young kid? It is amazing that God's goodness and God's truth can still penetrate through great sin. Some of you can look back and say, I did not grow up in a godly home, and yet I have found God, and I'm doing my best to serve. Surely you're not perfect. None of us are. But somehow God let that light shine in and reach you. 1 Kings 14:13, and all Israel shall mourn for him and bury him, for he only of Jeroboam shall come to the grave. Because in him there is found some good thing toward the Lord God of Israel. God even sees a goodness in kids. By comparison, his father was very evil. 1 Kings 14:9, but hast done evil above all that were before thee, for thou hast gone and made other gods and molten images to provoke me to anger, and hast cast me behind thy back. What a contrast. Father who's heard the word of God, who served under Solomon, who saw the building of the temple and all the blessings of God, and he did more evil and wickedness beyond anybody else that had ever lived. That's pretty wicked. And the rest of the acts of Jeroboam, how he warred and how he reigned, behold, they're written in the book of the Chronicles in the kings of Israel. And the days which Jeroboam reigned were 22 years, and he slept with his fathers, and Nadab his son reigned in his stead. He died. And we're going to notice that that's kind of a common theme in the Bible and in life all around us. I do encourage you sometimes to pick up the newspaper and read the obituaries. And you say, well, that's kind of morbid. Folks, they entered eternity. The second most important day of their life, if you will, the day they were born and the day they died. What really gets you is when people your age are dying. Why God allows life and death in people is his to know. Why God allowed Jeroboam to live as long as he did and reign for 22 years? If we have elected officials we don't like, well, they could be voted out of office in a few years. They put up with this guy for 22 years. The book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Israel. We have 1st and 2nd Chronicles to read. And in the scriptures you can also find references to other books, like the book of Jasher. A book certainly good for historical value, but it was not written inspired scripture. And we can find books today that can have some merit to it, but it's not inspired scripture. The Chronicles tend more, when you read that, they really do cover the same, in essence, time period. But 1st and 2nd Chronicles tend to put more of an emphasis, if you will, on the spiritual. 1st and 2nd Kings tend to spend more from an earthly view, although both deal with spirituality and the reality of this world. They complement each other. And his son Nadab ruled after his death. The people didn't have any choice. God made the decision. How about Rehoboam? Chapter 14, verse 21. And Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, reigned in Judah. Now, if you and I were alive, we'd kind of have to wonder, what kind of a future do we see with this guy based on watching what his dad did? He started out great and then ended up with 1,000 wives and building programs all over the place. And now Rehoboam has died, and Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, reigned in Judah. Rehoboam was 41 years old. Now, it's interesting that the Bible tells us this when it does. Chapter 1, we see David is still alive. We see Solomon coming on the scene. And we see Rehoboam come and rule after Solomon's death. And then the Bible lets us in on the little secret. By the way, Rehoboam was 41 years old when he began to reign. Now, we've already considered this, but I just find it interesting that sometimes God gives you what I call golden nuggets. And all of a sudden now you read this. After studying all this, you read this. This guy is 41. He had to be born a year before David died, because Solomon will reign for 40 years. He lived 41 years. That 1 year was before his father took the throne. because Solomon reigned for 40 years. And then you start to wonder, well, his wife's an Ammonitess. That was a forbidden people. Don't intermingle with them. Even under David, he let his son marry an Ammonitess woman. And you start to rethink some of these things that you've read in the scriptures, because there are problems everywhere. And so it is God gives us this golden nugget to reflect on. Rehoboam reigned 17 years, and yet we really don't know much about his reign. Not given really the detail like we have in other people. He reigned 17 years in Jerusalem, the city which the Lord did choose out of all the tribes of Israel. He put his name there. His mother's name was Naamah, an Ammonitess. And his mother was one. I wonder if she was counted among the 1,000 that he took later in life. Doesn't really matter, does it? If you put that math together, Rehoboam lived to be 58 years old. And he died. And Judah did evil in the sight of the Lord, and they provoked him to jealousy with their sins which they had committed, above all that their fathers had done. Do you notice sin is getting worse and worse and worse? Jeroboam did worse than all the people before him. Rehoboam and Judah did evil above all that their fathers did. And do we not look at our society today and see it getting worse and worse? It's the nature of man. This is nothing new. Because people turn their back on God. And when you turn your back on God, you turn your back on decency and righteousness and what we call common sense. You cannot take God out of the picture and expect to be successful. They built them high places and images and groves on every high hill and under every green tree. And there were sodomites in the land. And they did according to all the abominations of the nations which the Lord cast out before the children of Israel. God had blessed and blessed and blessed and forgiven and forgiven. And what did Solomon's main theme of his prayer at the dedication of the temple? If we look to this building, to this temple, you will hear and forgive. I don't read too much of people turning to the temple and asking for God's forgiveness. Quote, idolatrous worship, high places, images, groves. These are conscious efforts to worship other than by God's plan. And there were also sodomites in the land, such as were addicted to unnatural lusts between men and men, which the men of Sodom were guilty of, from whence they got their name. And they did according to all the abominations of the nations which the Lord cast out before the children of Israel, the Canaanites, of whose uncleannesses, incests, and bestialities. The abominations of the heathen nations. God, when he had them go into the promised land, the instructions were destroy it all. Before they went in, Moses warned the children of Israel, Deuteronomy 12:30, take heed to thyself that thou be not snared by following them after that they be destroyed. If God is going to bring the judgment of destruction on these people, why in the name of common sense would you want to follow what they did? After that they be destroyed from before thee, and that thou inquire not after their gods. Don't do that. Saying, how did these nations serve their gods? Even so will I do likewise. You marvel at the spiritual battle and how blinded some people are to truth. Above all that their fathers had done, despite all their wickedness, God was patient, God was faithful, God was merciful. But there comes a time when God says enough is enough. And so it is, in verse 25, we start the punishment brought upon Judah. And it came to pass in the fifth year of King Rehoboam that Shishak, king of Egypt, came up against Jerusalem. And he took away the treasures of the house of the Lord and the treasures of the king's house. And he even took all away, and he took away the shields of gold which Solomon had made. And King Rehoboam made in their stead brazen shields and committed them into the hands of the chief of the guard which kept the door of the king's house. And it was so when the king went into the house of the Lord that the guard bare them and brought them back into the guard chamber. How things change. Not all that long ago, if you would have told Israel that Egypt's going to come in and loot the land, no, that can't happen. I think a lot of people don't realize what could happen to this nation when God takes his hand off of us. They never thought that it would happen, that the treasures of the house of the Lord would be taken, the shields of gold. Now, it's interesting, they apparently were still allowed to dwell in the land, but they were controlled by Egypt, and that plundering of Israel, they took these gold shields, and they had to replace them with brass. The glory of Israel is over. Why? Sin. And Solomon had married Pharaoh's daughter. Don't you think that would bring a peace? No. Life goes on. People live and die. Judah is punished by God through Egypt. And honestly, if you really want to meditate on something, what provoked Israel to attack Judah? God. It was time. Judgment is here. And he somehow got into the minds of the Egyptians and turned the switch and said, go. And you can read about that in the book of Judges. When they did evil in the sight of the Lord, God delivered them into the hand of their enemies. Go. God's in control. Shishak took away the glory of Israel's history. The shields were to protect, but the shields were taken. The truth is, the real protector was God. Rehoboam and Israel sinned. Therefore, God allowed Shishak to dominate them. They lost their power. We can humble ourselves, folks, but there are consequences for sin. It must be remembered that Rehoboam and Judah are held in greater accountability than other nations because of all that God did for them. And God has blessed this land so much. The temple, the treasures were taken. It took 20 years to build. Wonder how long it took to be plundered. Not long. Solomon learned tough lessons in life that he has passed on to us. He writes in the Ecclesiastes, greatly paraphrasing, I had it all. And it was only vanity and vexation of spirit. It wasn't worth it. And he concluded, Ecclesiastes 12:13, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God, keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of God. For this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good, whether it be evil. This is the grand reality of life, folks. This you can pass on to your grandchildren and your great-grandchildren. Everything else is vanity of vanities. But God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. We then move into a summary of Judah and Israel. And you can read more in the Chronicles of Judah. Verse 29, now the rest of the acts of Rehoboam and all that he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles and the kings of Judah? Yes, and we'll read more about the failures of man and the goodness of God. Verse 30, and there was war between Rehoboam and Jeroboam all their days. Now let's again step back and reflect on what we just read. When it started, Jeroboam led the people, they approached Rehoboam and they said, ease up, and he said, no, I'm not going to ease up, and they said, fine, we're out of here. Greatly summarizing the split. And when he split and Jeroboam took the people north, what did Rehoboam do? He assembled his army to attack the northern kingdom called Israel. And God sent Shemaiah, a prophet, to Rehoboam, and he said in 1 Kings 12:24, thus saith the Lord, ye shall not go up nor fight against your brethren, the children of Israel. Let's read that again, 14, verse 30. 1 Kings 14:30, and there was war between Rehoboam and Jeroboam all their days. God says, don't fight. Don't fight. They fought. Such is the nature of man. The scriptures clearly indicate that the problem was the lack of spirituality. The grand reality is, as they were continually fighting, the truth is they were also continually fighting God. They didn't want to do things God's way. When we don't do things God's way, it always results in problems. In verse 31, Rehoboam slept with his fathers and was buried with his fathers in the city of David. And his mother's name was Naamah, an Ammonitess. And Abijam, his son, reigned in his stead. So it is, life goes on. The kingdom of God, having its seeds back in Genesis 12, when God told Abraham, through you I will make a mighty kingdom, peoples. That's the earthly beginning of the kingdom of God. Of course, it extends into eternity past. But as far as humanity knows, it begins there in Genesis 12. And God starts to work as he chooses the Jews, Israel. And through them, he chooses David. And in 2 Samuel, David is told, you will have an eternal kingdom. In other words, his ancestry was going to go down into eternity. Now, it's interesting when you read the scriptures and you stand back and you look at the genealogies and you look at the recorded word in Matthew chapter 1, verse 1, the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David. Judah always had a king that was of the bloodline of David, because that's where the Lion of Judah was going to come from, way back in Genesis 49. God made no mistakes, and throughout the years of all the fighting, of all the enemies coming in, of all the sin and wickedness, God saw to it that there was always a king from the line of Judah. Israel, the northern kingdom, cannot claim that. They had this guy, and then this guy murders this guy. We'll see this coming up in our study in Kings. They did not have a continuous bloodline. Judah did. And this is where Jesus Christ, the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. And God was protecting throughout the years. Our message here is they all died. David died, Solomon died, the man of God from Judah was dead by a lion. The old prophet died and was buried next to the man of God from Judah. Abijah, Jeroboam's son, died. Jeroboam died. Rehoboam died. They all died. Was it worth it? All the fighting and the vanity and vexation of spirit? Was it worth aggravating God? When they entered eternity and they stood before God, they knew it wasn't worth it. Will we learn from them? I hope so. But if history is accurate, we can look forward to a lot more heartache in this world, because it's the nature of man, and that's why Christ came to die. These people all died, God's people. And that's the grand reality of life. There's a record recorded of them in here, 1 Kings, and in the books of the Chronicles. Remember this. One day we will lie silent in the grave. Our time on earth will be done, and we will stand before God. And as there's a record of these people in 1 Kings and in the books of Chronicles, there is a record of our lives. And the unsaved will enter eternity, and they will stand one day before a great white throne. In Revelation 20:12, "And I saw the dead, great and small, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works." And salvation is not of works, lest any man should boast. And God is giving them a fair trial at that white throne. Fine, you didn't want to trust my Son as your Savior. You think your life was good enough? Let's review your works and see if you really do merit eternal life. And he will say, "Depart from me, I never knew you." Because salvation is not of works. But God gave them a fair trial. Okay, let's look at the record. But the saved will not be there in judgment. I do believe we'll be there to watch it, but we won't be part of it. Christians, what do we look forward to? 1 Corinthians 3:13, every man, talking about Christians, shall be made manifest. Everything's going to be known. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. Not for salvation, but for rewards or the lack thereof. Verse 14, if any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so is by fire. We will be glad we tended to our spirituality that day. Because he says, even though you're going to be saved, if you didn't live for me and you didn't really dedicate your life and serve me, you'll suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. It's going to be a tough day, because God is very serious about sin. He sent his Son to save our souls, and he wants us to live. That's the grand reality of life. And one day we too will all die.
This is Pastor Rod Holler. I pray you enjoyed that message. Thanks for listening.